You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
This summer, Sorcerer Radio will be taking the show on the road. SRDJs and team members will be visiting Disney events and locations to meet with you, our listeners, as well as give out some Sorcerer Radio swag. For more information about event dates and locations for the Summer of Sorcerer Radio, visit srsounds.com/summer.
Be sure to check out WDWDailyNews.com. WDW Daily News provides articles and other information about the Walt Disney Company and more. Be sure to follow them on Twitter at WDWDailyNews, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
You are going to be a force for good and a very important sorcerer.
The following is an original production of the Sorcerer Radio Network.
Are you insane?
It's DW60 with Jeff Davis.
There's a very powerful voice. Where it's coming from, we have no idea.
On Sorcerer Radio, srsounds.com.
Welcome to the program. This is DW60's Press Row Podcast. Hope you're having a fantastic day. I'm your host, Jeff Davis. First ever podcast for Press Row. Wow, this is something. Glad you were able to stop by and check out the show just a little bit. See what Press Row is all about. A little bit of background for you real quick before we get into Press Row itself. So, I started working with Sorcerer Radio back in, 2004, 2005 time frame. And Sorcerer Radio itself is an internet radio station that plays Walt Disney music from the Disney parks, mainly Walt Disney World. We do have a show that plays music from Disneyland as well, but mainly it's Walt Disney World, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can listen to the station over at srsounds.com. And when I started with SR, I started on this podcast called The Character Breakfast. Now, if some of you Disney fans out there, you may remember it, you may not. Went on for some time, and eventually we stopped doing it because, you know, everybody had crazy, hectic schedules and everything else. But during that time, I started doing a show on Sorcerer Radio called DW60. Now, DW60 also included the music from Walt Disney World, but I also did the news and headlines that were coming from the Walt Disney World Resort as well, and that started back in 2006. I've been doing that show for the last 11 years. And various times throughout those years, a lot of people have asked me the question, you know, Jeff, can you do DW60 as a podcast? Because we can't always listen to the show when it comes on. The show comes on Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. There's a replay at 7 p.m. every single Thursday night as well. And some people were just not able to listen and they were missing out. But I said to him, I said, well, no, I can't exactly make DW60 a podcast simply because there's music involved with the show. And I cannot make that available for download as a podcast. There's a lot of legal issues with the music and everything else. We can't allow that. And so I said, it's just not going to happen. But I kept on doing DW60 anyway, and people would listen when they could. Then a while back, a couple of years down the road, somebody said, well, what if you did DW60 as a podcast, but only the news portion of the podcast? I was like, that's interesting. And I thought about it and thought about it. I said, well, I could, but I just don't have the time. And then it ended up that, you know, some schedules changed and a few things went away where I was able to create a little extra time for something like this. So basically, what DW60's Press Row podcast is, it's a recap of what Press Row was that week on Sorcerer Radio. What you heard on Sorcerer Radio will also be played on this podcast for those who missed the portion of the news. That was the easiest way for me to be able to do this because, like I said, not everybody was able to listen to the show. Now, a little background information about me. I've been visiting the Walt Disney World Resort since 1985. And with the exception of maybe, 4 to 5 years when I was in the military, I've been visiting Walt Disney World at least once or twice a year. So I've been quite a few times. I'm fairly well educated when it comes to Walt Disney World, and that's why I started doing the show. I did radio back when I was in high school. My father's in radio up in New York. And so it just came a second nature to me, and I thought, you know, what's the best way to combine the two? I love doing radio as like a hobby, but I love Walt Disney World as well. And so DW60 was created, and that's what it is today. So the fact that I'm bringing you a podcast is just giving you another opportunity to listen to Press Row, which is the new segment that goes during DW60, and that's what this is all about. Now, for those of you who have never heard of me before or you've never listened to the show, a little bit more of how I do things on Press Row. I am not the type of person that is going to really kiss Disney's butt. I don't do it. I refuse to agree with every single thing that Disney does and decides to do when it comes to the Disney parks. If I don't like it, I will voice my opinion about it. And you know what? Everybody's opinion is different. And I love hearing those different opinions. I love talking about them. But when I present the news on DW60, it is straightforward Disney talk. I don't beat around the bush. I tell you how it is. I tell you how I think it should be, but I also look for the feedback as well. And I do get that because for Sorcerer Radio, we do have the Sorcerer Radio Disney Fun Zone group on Facebook. And also DW60 has its Twitter account and a Facebook page as well. So I do interact with the listeners all the time telling me, yeah, they think that's a good idea. No, they don't. They're very interested in the rants that I do sometimes when Disney does something that I may or may not agree with. They love hearing the rumors and the headlines and everything else. So collectively, that's what DW60's Press Row is all about. Straight to the point, Disney talk. Not beating around the bush. So you may not agree with everything that I have to say, but at the same time, I am willing to listen to also what you have to say in response to what you hear on Press Row. And so that is what this is all about. And finally, I just decided, hey, let's go ahead and do the podcast. I got together with the Weebie Geeks Network and talked to Mike. Really, Mike is the one who kind of pushed me in the direction of starting this podcast for Press Row. He said, you know, come on, man, I really want you to do it. Really want you to do it. And I said, I put it off for a while. And finally, the last trip I had to Walt Disney World, I just broke down and said, you know what, I think I'm going to go ahead and do it. And a few things got in the way in the process, and that was back during Memorial Day when I was there for Pandora, the World of Avatar, and its opening. And finally, I got around to it, and here we are. So what you're going to be hearing and what you will hear every single podcast, like I said, is this past week's news stories from Press Row. So let's get to the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you the top news stories from the Walt Disney World Resort on DW60. This is Press Row.
Time for those headlines from the Walt Disney World Resort here on DW60. It's Press Row, and we start with this. 311 days. It has been 311 days since we had a nighttime parade at the Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World. We are getting closer and closer to that one-year mark. What do I do after that? Do I keep going? Do I stop and just say, it's done? It's just never coming back? I don't know. But now 311 days, and people still cry for it. People are still saying, Disney, what's the problem? Why haven't you thought of something? Why haven't you done something? Why haven't you told us something? They continue to be quiet. And those who are voicing their opinion continue to do so, because you'll hear it every single show when it comes to DW60 and Press Row. I will mention it every single show. So keep the campaign going. Make your voice heard. Let Disney know you would like to have a new nighttime parade at the Magic Kingdom soon. Not later. Soon. All right. So Mission Space. Oh, good old Mission Space. It's kind of that 50-50 attraction. You either like it or you don't like it. And it has officially relaunched, reopened this past Sunday. It had a soft opening on Friday and Saturday. The on-ride videos of both green and orange missions have been enhanced by the special effects team at Industrial Light and Magic. Now, the team Disney acquired when it purchased Lucasfilm. That's interesting. I didn't know that, but when I saw that, I was like, wow, okay, makes sense. And they're the ones responsible for, you know, the new videos that you see. That was done during the recent refurbishment. Now, the green mission is, of course, the less intensive training adventure that you can do. It now includes a new simulated launch to a low Earth orbit and landing at Florida's Kennedy Space Center on the Atlantic Ocean coast. Now, to make this side of the attraction even more family-friendly, the height requirement for it has been lowered for the green mission to 40 inches by providing booster seats to guests who are under 44 inches. So those younger kids who want to experience Mission Space on the green side now have the opportunity to do it. Now, the more aggressive training, the orange mission now has a new higher definition video that a lot of us have been asking for a while. Now, the adventure is otherwise, you know, pretty much the same. It hasn't changed at all, really. It's just more enhanced. It looks more real. And they did that during the refurbishment as well. Now, the height requirement remains 44 inches, and the warning signs and cast members often try to, you know, convince any rider who questions whether they can physically handle the more aggressive training version by suggesting they try the green mission instead. Then if you do that one, you can try the orange. Now, the lines really haven't changed. It's like 15, 20 minutes. It's really not that bad. You would have thought that after, you know, a big enhancement, a lot of people would have seen it. A lot of people just kind of went, it's still the same attraction. It doesn't really interest me, even though it might look a little bit better. Now, here's the interesting part about this entire refurbishment. The pre-ride host, the one that you saw before you actually go into that area, is no longer actor Gary Sinise. He's been there since the attraction's 2003 opening, you know, telling people about Mission Space. Now it is actress Gina Torres. Much as before, the pre-ride videos explained the mission aboard the X-2 Deep Space Shuttle Simulator at the International Space Training Center on the green mission. The video also includes a demonstration of the installation and removal of the booster seats for riders between 40 and 44 inches tall. A lot of people really upset that Gary Sinise is no longer part of the attraction. I did like seeing in there, but, you know, the technology that they were using as far as props in the video were kind of out of date, and maybe he just wasn't available to redo everything because they're using all new props in the pre-ride video that you see. And actually, Gina Torres does a really, really good job. Now, if you want to check that out, all you have to do is go to YouTube or something. There are plenty of videos where you can watch it and you make your own opinion without having Gary Sinise there, but I thought it was fine. So check out Mission Space, now once again open in Future World over at Epcot. Well, Disney has decided to axe the Express service. Express bus service just after 8 months of being in service. It's no longer going on. The service did launch back in December of 2016, allowed unlimited park-to-park transportation for guests for a price. However, the minivans, while more expensive as it is sold on a per-ride basis, offers point-to-point transportation anywhere on Walt Disney World property, including resorts and more, seems to be extremely popular, and a lot of people are not taking advantage of the express bus service. It's kind of a surprise. So the final day was yesterday. You can't do it anymore. Can't do it. Okay. I'm just kidding. Final day for guests to purchase the express bus services yesterday, with the final day of operation being August 23rd. So you can still do it, but you can't purchase it anymore. But hopefully you already did that. I would have liked the bus service probably if I had gotten it. I never thought about it during my last vacation. So anyway, it's going away. I don't think anybody really cares. But when I did talk about minivans, While initially only available to guests staying at Disney's Yacht and Beach Club and the Boardwalk Resorts, a few additional resort guests are now able to take advantage of Disney's minivan service due to popular demand. People are actually paying this $20 just to go to one location to get to ride around in a minivan. Minivan, okay? So, as of Monday, guests at Disney's Wilderness Lodge, Copper Creek Villas and Cabins, and also Boulder Ridge Villas at Wilderness Lodge can now go to the front desk at the resort to activate the service for their use. Now, Minivans is a paid point-to-point transportation service that is operated by Disney and summoned through the Lyft app. So, I don't know why people would want to pay $20 per ride when you've got unlimited service via Disney Express bus services. This doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know. All right, let's take a trip around the world and look at some of the construction updates when it comes to Walt Disney World. We've got lots of different places to go through. We got the Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Disney's Hollywood Studios, Disney's Animal Kingdom, and a couple of other places as well. We're going to start at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. And at the end of the beach, which is now separated from the Seven Seas Lagoon by a rope fence and rock wall to discourage guests from entering the water near the tragedy area from a small boy that was killed last year, a small lighthouse monument has been installed. Really nice. The plaque reads on the monument, presented to the Lane Graves Foundation, a beacon of hope, a light of love. The display is, of course, the memorial to the toddler that was killed by an alligator near that site. But fantastic that Disney put up something for that. This is the part where I go through those 22 pages, just by the way. Big typing, real big picture, so I can see it real well. All right. Also, inside the lobby of Disney's Grand Floridian, a few of this year's Easter egg displays remain in place under glass, so if you want to go see those, they still have an opportunity. This one real nice, got Cinderella Castle, got the slipper on it, inside of an egg, all that other stuff, all from Easter, so check that out. As we move over to the Magic Kingdom, road construction continues along World Drive next to the monorail beams between Epcot and the Transportation and Ticket Center. So just expect delays, especially during the month of August as final summer vacationers make their way to the Walt Disney World Resort. Approaching the Magic Kingdom's parking lot, Toll Plaza, give me money, provides a new view in the distance of one of the several flyover ramps taking shape amidst all the construction that's going on. Now, these, you know, flyover ramps are going to be taking people directly to the parking area and other areas there for the Magic Kingdom. So that is going on. Also, last week, scaffolding surrounding some of the peaks of Magic Kingdom Space Mountain, which could be seen from across Seven Seas Lagoon, was removed. So a little bit of painting and some face work being done when it comes to Space Mountain. Looks kind of halfway done, in my opinion. I think they got one half done. They still got a little bit more to go. But that is going on. Everything needs a little more paint every now and then. Also, last week, the upper levels of Adventureland buildings were wrapped in construction scrims and going through some work as well. So a few things around Walt Disney World, you know, just getting facelifts. And don't forget, you know, at Walt Disney World in the summer, always expect the rain no matter what the forecast is. I mean, it could rain at a drop of a hat. And it's not specifically the time that the weather people always give. They may say 2 o'clock, it may rain at 12:30. It just depends on how it happens. But the upside of rain at the Magic Kingdom is not that bad because sometimes they have the rainy day cavalcade, which is the rainy day parade. When you can't have the regular parade out there on Main Street USA and the rest of the park, you've got the rainy day cavalcade, which is small, couple of Disney characters in their raincoats along with cast members, stuff like that. Something small, but something to look at, you know, while the Florida rain pounds you as you're walking through the Magic Kingdom. It comes and goes literally within 10 to 15 minutes, and then it's done, and then it's more humid, and your shoes are soaking wet. I don't know. So, all right, the construction scrim at Sir Mickey's in Fantasyland is now themed. We do expect that the construction crane will soon be parked nearby for the seasonal installment of the Holiday Dream Lights on Cinderella Castle. That's going to be happening pretty soon as well. Everybody always loves to see that crane in the background when they take their picture on Main Street USA. And people ask, well, what's the crane doing there? Well, they're putting up the holiday lights. When the lights go up on Cinderella Castle, We absolutely love it. Also, we've got Halloween-themed merchandise already going into the stores at Walt Disney World. They're going to have some new arrival signs on them, so you can find those. Child-sized Halloween merchandise is also starting to appear as well. And even though, yes, it is still summertime, it has not quite ended just yet. And we know that the Halloween stuff is out, but get this. The Main Street Emporium shelves are already starting to receive their first Christmas 2017 ornaments already. We're barely halfway through August, already seeing the Christmas stuff starting to come out. Oh, gee whiz. Over at Disney's Hollywood Studios, do I even have to tell you there's construction going on over there? Multiple cranes can be seen over at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. That's going to be continuing to go on from multiple areas around that area. You can see all of these. The cranes mean just this. They're progressing. They're building. They're going to get it done eventually. When you stop seeing cranes, that's when I worry. But that is going on. Of course, also Toy Story Land is still seeing construction as well at Disney's Hollywood Studios. And then, of course, we saw the great movie ride closing on Sunday. And Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Rail Train thingamajiggy is... already got signage up in that area for coming soon. I'm still 50-50 on this attraction. I don't know if I'm exactly going to like it or not, but they're already seeing the signage being put on the Chinese theater there. So, also, the bus stops at Disney's Hollywood Studios has gone through a little bit of a change during construction, so there's going to be some new areas where buses will pick up and drop off for Disney Resort guests and also chartered buses, so make sure you follow signs in that area if you need to get to one of the buses. Also, One Man's Dream is becoming Walt Disney Presents, and some of its historical artifacts are expected to remain in the area, as well as its character meet and greets. So that's it. Lots of different things going on at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Crazy. Also, models of Toy Story Land and part of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge are going to be displayed in the Walt Disney Presents attraction sometime in the next several weeks. One Man's Dream is expected to operate throughout its transition, so don't worry about not being able to get in there, but seeing those models, the one from the D23 Expo, is going to be actually pretty cool. So we got that going on, and let's see, more construction. I'm trying to get through all, oh, this was interesting. Okay, the Trolley Car Cafe, also known as Starbucks, everybody loves Starbucks, has new park-themed mugs and ornaments for sale. Now, I've got a couple of the Starbucks mugs myself, but this one actually looks really, really nice. You might want to get your hands on this before they're sold out, because they will go quick. They will go quick. Some painting going on around Epcot over in Future World, right there by the Fountain of Nations. Inside Mouse Gear, you can already celebrate the future with 2018 attraction poster calendars now for sale. We're not even done with 2017 yet. It's just, wow, that's crazy. But not a lot going on at Epcot. But now with, you know, Ellen's Energy Adventure closing, Ratatouille coming in, you're going to start seeing construction stuff going on at Epcot. So we'll be looking for that. Over at Disney's Animal Kingdom, some of those new tram tractors are being used, the more green type. They've got a little different of a paint scheme on them. They're kind of red. They used to be green, but those are in service. So if you see one of those, they're a little bit quieter than the old ones, I will say that, but they still smell like a tram. That's the thing. Also, themed covers now decorate some of the speaker towers at Discovery Island between the entry bridge and the Tree of Life. So they're trying to cover those up, make it a little bit nicer over there. Also, refurbishment is underway along Disney's Boardwalk Inn portion of the boardwalk. All of the food locations appear to be open, though, so you don't have to worry about not getting into your favorite place to eat. So lots of different moving pieces right now at Walt Disney World. Of course, the biggest ones going on for the entrance to the Magic Kingdom with that construction, road construction going on, and then, of course, all the different construction going on at Disney's Hollywood Studios and stuff to come when it comes to Epcot. So that's your construction and merchandise and a couple other things type update. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, Press Row continues. The rumors of the week are next.
Trader Sam's Coffee is the original artisanal roaster of Disney-inspired coffees. Our coffees are naturally flavored, gluten-free, and never contain artificial flavoring. Trader Sam's Coffee offers an adventure in every bag. Start your adventure at TraderSamsCoffee.com. For Sorcerer Radio listeners, we are offering 20% off your first purchase. Just use code SR20 at TraderSam'sCoffee.com.
Storybook Destinations is a full-service travel agency specializing in Disney destinations. Their team of experienced agents handle every aspect of planning your vacation to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Aulani, a Disney Resort and Spa, or Adventures by Disney. Their free concierge services include planning dining, recreation and tour reservations, discount monitoring, transportation, and much more. Visit www.storybookdestinations.com to write your next fairy tale vacation with Storybook Destinations.
Do you have a Disney-related business or product and would like help getting the word out? Become a sponsor of Sorcerer Radio today. For more information, please contact our business office via email at sponsors@srsounds.com.
Broadcasting the magic every day.
Who are you, if I might ask?
Sorcerer Radio, srsounds.com.
I wasn't like every other kid, you know, who dreams about being an astronaut. I was always more interested in what bark was made out of on a tree.
Hey, how you doing?
You almost think I'm pretty stupid.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
That's what I'm talking about! Let's get nuts!
It's time for the DW60 Rumor of the Week.
You know what I love about Disney rumors is because it brings on the possibilities of significant and real change at Walt Disney World. And it makes you think, would that actually work, or would it just be one of the worst ideas that Disney could ever come up with? And that's why I love the rumors so much. All right, so we're going to start with this one. As per the rumor, it appears that Disney is thinking about the possibility of adding table service restaurants to their value resorts at Walt Disney World. Now, according to the rumor, the parking lot between the All-Star Music and All-Star Movies resorts will become home to a new table service restaurant, which is most likely going to be a buffet style. They expect that occupancy at Walt Disney World is going to be on the rise in 2019. And it is believed that the counter service restaurants at the three All-Star resorts would be even more overwhelmed than they are right now. And some guests are staying at these hotels would rather skip the lines and the craziness of quick service in favor of a buffet-style dining experience. Now, it's a rumor. It's probably only in a planning stage. Disney has not approved anything. They haven't denied anything. They have not announced anything. And I don't even think that any type of construction has begun in any way, shape, or form. But if it does happen, would it be an option that you would be looking to enjoy if you're staying at one of the All-Star resorts? Or would it be an option that you're looking to utilize at any of the value resorts, whether it be the Pop Century Art of Animation area or whether it be the All-Star? I like buffets. So I would definitely make sense of it. I don't want a burger. I don't want a chicken sandwich. I don't want a wrap. You know, stuff. I'd rather get something buffet style because it gives me more of a choice and probably a little bit more expensive, but that's okay. I do like pizza. I could eat pizza every day, let's be honest. But buffet style in a value resort, I'd go for it. I'd go for it. It'd be okay. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. All right, so that's a pretty good rumor. That's not bad. But this next one is a real doozy, I gotta tell you. All right, so it's only been a couple of months since Walt Disney World opened Pandora, the World of Avatar at Disney's Animal Kingdom. And, you know, the masses have been flocking to that area of the Animal Kingdom to check out this new land. It's fantastic. And even with mixed reviews, you know, Pandora has done well. It's been okay. Then shortly before the D23 Expo last month, rumors started swirling of a new themed area coming to the Animal Kingdom Park, themed by Disney's hit movie Zootopia. And it would be put into the area that currently hosts Rafiki's Planet Watch, or that, you know, some additional attractions may be put in for Pandora. Who knows? However, there has been another rumor currently making the rounds this week that Disney might be considering adding another massive film franchise to the theme park's lineup in the years to come. Now, this week, the rumors are that Indiana Jones themed land may be making its way to Disney's Animal Kingdom, taking over the area of Dinoland USA. And when I first heard this, what? Really? Now, take into consideration just what, 5 or 6 years ago, Disney purchased Lucasfilm. And now we've got Star Wars Galaxy's Edge currently under construction over at Disney's Hollywood Studios. It would make sense to capitalize on the popularity of the Indiana Jones films, would it not? They're big, they're huge. Harrison Ford is big in those as well. Not only was he big in Star Wars, he was big with Indiana Jones. And also, this is interesting. Take note that the Indiana Jones attractions over at Disneyland and Tokyo DisneySea are very, very popular attractions. Walt Disney World guests have always wanted a good Indiana Jones type attraction. Now, I really don't think that anyone who is a fan of the Indiana Jones films would reject the idea of a themed land at Walt Disney World. I mean, the approval rating of this would probably be well over 70%, most likely. But the question presented is, why put it in Disney's Animal Kingdom? I mean, where does this fit with the rest of the theming for the Animal Kingdom? I mean, there are many similarities between, you know, the ride vehicles in Dinosaur and the current versions of the Indiana Jones Adventure, making it a pretty good fit for that building. Think about it for just a moment. I mean, the amount of money that Disney would save not having to build an entirely new structure for the attraction. That is, of course, you know, if Disney decides to stick with that type of technology for the attraction, they'd save some money. So out of all the other attractions in Dinoland USA, which one could possibly fit into an Indiana Jones themed area? Let's kind of go through them, all right? Primeval World? No. The Midway style games that are in that area? No. Triceratops Spin? No. Or just anything else in that specific area of Dinoland USA would really just have to go out the door. I mean, none of it could really stay at all. There's just really one spot left in Dinoland USA. And that's the Boneyard. You know, where kids and, well, some adults, you can go up and dig for dinosaurs. Yeah. So it's where they play the song Digging for Dinosaurs a lot that you hear on SR. Yeah. That area could most easily be rethemed into some type of another archaeological dig site, perfectly keeping with the Indiana Jones theming. It would work, no problem. They could leave that. Now, trust me, when I first heard the rumor, I was absolutely convinced that Indiana Jones just didn't go along with the theming of Animal Kingdom. It just didn't. But the more that I thought about it, the more I started to convince myself that it could actually work. But wait a second, hold on. Don't we already have an Indiana Jones themed attraction? Oh, yeah, that's right. I totally forgot about the Indiana Jones stunt spectacular. It's not that spectacular. Well, it was when it opened. It's over at Disney's Hollywood Studios. You know, the show that opened up on August of 1989. That most of everyone doesn't waste their time ever seeing it again after the first time. It's that type of attraction or show, just like the Universe of Energy, that has become an opportunity for people to get off their feet for a while during the day. Now, think of it like this. If the building wasn't closed and had air conditioning, it would be exactly what Universe of Energy became. 45 minutes of not being on your feet and possibly catching a week or two in between the explosions and gunfire of the stunt show. Okay, I realize that some people really like this show, but it's just not for me. But what would happen to it if an Indiana Jones themed area opened at the Animal Kingdom? One of two things would happen. Either it gets demolished and Disney Imagineers come up with another attraction to fill the area, or Disney decides to move the stunt show over to the Animal Kingdom and build it in the area currently used by Chester and Hester's Dinorama. Now, do I think that that's going to happen? No. But it makes sense, it makes no sense, actually, whatsoever, for the Indiana Jones stunt spectacular show to remain at Disney's Hollywood Studios when you have an entire themed area over at the Animal Kingdom. There would be no use for it staying at Hollywood Studios. It would have to go. Now, from what I'm reading and what I've been told, the Orlando Informer also has offered the idea that perhaps the Animal Kingdom will follow in the footsteps of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at the Hollywood Studios and construct a fully immersive Indiana Jones themed resort experience. I don't know if it would have as much of a draw as what you're going to have with the Star Wars resort. I really don't think so. So I really don't think that that has any chance whatsoever of ever happening. The themed land, why not capitalize on it? Why not? There's definitely an audience for it. There's definitely fans of the show or the films. Disney owns it. Why not capitalize on it? So, I mean, if all of this ends up being true and not just rumors, the question is, when would we expect to see all of this begin to happen? I mean, well, the answer really is anyone's guess at this point. But keep this in mind when you do think about it, all right? We already know that there's going to be another Indiana Jones movie. It is slated to be released in 2020. So kind of let that marinate in your mind for just a minute and then make a determination. So, I mean, what do you really think about a new Indiana Jones land coming to Disney's Animal Kingdom? Here's the interesting part. If the rumor is true, or even if it is just a rumor and it's not even true, Disney is watching what you post and what you say on social media. I guarantee you that on out there in California at the Disney Company building on sub-level 10, way up underneath the building there's a guy sitting in a room which is, you know, got a security lock and everything on it. He's got about 5 or 6 computers, and he's going through social medias. He's going through Facebook. He's going through Instagram. He's going through Snapchat. He's going through Twitter. And he's reading all of these comments that you guys make when it comes to rumors or things that are true coming to the Walt Disney World Resort. They're doing it. So in the process, when you hear stuff like this, here's what you do. You make your voice heard. You post about it. You talk about it. Because they're reading this type of stuff. They're checking forums on websites. They're members of Disney groups on Facebook. You think there's just some random person? It's probably a Disney employee. It's a cast member. And they're reading all these comments. Disney sees what you post. So when a rumor like this for Indiana Jones comes up, the thing to do is make your voice heard and give your opinion. Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think it's a terrible idea? Do you ask Disney, why haven't you done this anyway? What has taken so long? Or do you tell them, hey, I don't care about Indiana Jones, but I do want a new nighttime parade over at the Magic Kingdom. It's been 311 days. Seriously. That's how you get stuff across to Disney. But when Disney posts something on the Disney Parks blog, on Facebook, on Twitter, reply to it. They read it. They may not comment on it, but they do read your comments. So like I said, when it comes to something like this, you've got to voice your opinion. Because maybe it's on somebody's board there for the Disney Imagineers. It's off to the side. They've got an artist rendering, a concept art, sitting there, and they look at it every now and then. And they may leak something to someone, somewhere, some group, some podcast, some Disney page, just to get the conversation started. But I personally love the idea of an Indiana Jones themed land. They're going to have to, if it is a true rumor, they're going to have to work on me just a little bit to get it to fit into the Animal Kingdom. At first, when I thought about it, I said, Pandora, the world of Avatar, Animal Kingdom? 50-50. I'm 50-50 on whether or not it would actually be true and fit at the Animal Kingdom. But now that I've been there and that I've seen it, I've gone on the attractions and they talk about conservation of the planet Pandora and everything. It fits with the Animal Kingdom. It's just the way it is, in my opinion. So could Indiana Jones fit into the Animal Kingdom? It could, but Disney would have to do it the right way. Other question is, would you miss Primeval World, Triceratops Spin, Dinosaur? Would you miss those attractions? Are they attractions that you and your family do every single trip? It's another question you got to ask yourself, because people are saying the same things about the Great Movie Ride. They're saying the same things about Universe of Energy. There were attractions that me and my family did every single time we went to Walt Disney World, and now you've taken them away. But they took them away because their popularity dropped to absolutely nothing. It was time for them to go. And they're bringing in something new. Not everybody likes it, but not everybody hates it at the same time. So the same could happen when it comes to Indiana Jones at the Animal Kingdom. How long did we say to Disney, hey, please, give us a Star Wars-themed land? Disney listened, they put their heads together, and we are about to get Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And just from the model rendering at the D23 Expo, it's really going to be something special. So Disney listened to us. They listened to our suggestions. We may not get everything that we want, but sometimes, every now and then, we do get something. So if you're a fan of Indiana Jones, let Disney know about it. Even if it's just a rumor and it's not even true that Disney hasn't even thought of it yet, put it in their head. Make them think about, Indiana Jones at the parks. Other than just a stunt show, an entire land. That's an interesting idea. Let's look into it. If you love the idea of a buffet being available at the All-Star Resorts and Walt Disney World instead of just quick service, tell Disney. Post something in one of your group pages on Facebook. Send them a tweet on Twitter. Say something to them on YouTube. Say something to them on Instagram. They look at this kind of stuff. And that is the news this week.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
Sorcerer Radio, srsounds.com.
So those are your top headlines for the Walt Disney World Resorts during this past week's DW60 on Press Row. There are a couple of other things that I did want to mention to you guys that have happened since the airing of the show. Of course, I'll probably talk about them this next week on DW60's Press Row as well. But I wanted to go ahead and mention it here. Food. I'll tell you right now, I'm a big fan of Walt Disney World food, especially the buffets. I do love the buffets. I do like a good sit-down meal where they bring it to you. It's okay. I like variety. I'm a guy that likes variety. My number one buffet to go to in Walt Disney World is BOMA. Love that place. Love it. But when it comes to counter service at Walt Disney World, they have rolled out the mobile ordering program that you can use on the My Disney Experience app. It's only available for a few locations, but more are going to be rolling out. What happens is you get on the app, you order your food, you let Disney know what time you're going to get it. You go there, you check in, they give you your food, you're gone. It's prepared and ready for you as you come up. A couple minutes, before you're supposed to be there, they'll have it ready, hot, and you're ready to eat, good to go. So like I said, only a few have been doing this right now, but more are coming. There are no specific dates as to when these restaurants are going to start doing it, but they are coming. Check this out. the Lunching Pad over the Magic Kingdom, Aloha Isle at the Magic Kingdom, the next three at Disney's Hollywood Studios, Rosie's All-American Cafe, you got Fairfax Fair, and also Catalina Eddie's, and then over at Epcot, Sunshine Seasons is going to start doing the mobile ordering program. Now, when it comes to Aloha Isle at the Magic Kingdom, what does that mean? Dole Whips. I love a good Dole Whip. I live off those things while I'm there. I can't get enough off them. It's a snack, but I treat it as a meal sometimes. Next to turkey legs, because I love the turkey legs in Walt Disney World, a Dole Whip is my go-to meal type. It's just really that good. I can't get it to do this, taste the same here at home. I don't know what it is. But now you can order it ahead of time. That's actually really, really cool. One other thing that I did want to mention to you guys is that there are going to be a couple of stores closing when it comes to Disneyland and Downtown Disney and then a Walt Disney World Disney Springs because of the brand new Star Wars VR experience that's coming to both locations. It's called Star Wars Secrets of the Empire. And it's going to allow guests to walk freely into a galaxy far, far away using a combination of virtual reality and physical surroundings. Sounds really cool. I cannot wait for this to open. It's at Disney Springs. Sure, you're going to have to pay to get into it, but you don't have to pay park entrance to get into Downtown Disney or Disney Springs. You just park. That's all you have to do. Really, really neat experience that they're talking about here, and I can't wait for it. But two stores are going to have to close. You've got Fossil, and then Disney Vault 28 is going to be closing by the end of September to get construction started for Star Wars Secrets of the Empire. That's pretty exciting. If you're a Star Wars fan. If you're not, I'd still check it out anyway. An interactive VR experience that you could actually touch physically with your hands. That's using VR. That's really cool. Cannot wait for it. Those are two other stories I just wanted to, you know, pass along the way for you guys before we did close out the show. Now, if you want to hear DW60 in its entirety, head over to srsounds.com and you can listen to Sorcerer Radio that way. Now, you can also listen via the Sorcerer Radio app, which is available on your Apple and Android devices. You can listen to Sorcerer Radio on your Roku device and also your Amazon Fire Stick devices as well by downloading TuneIn, and you can listen to Sorcerer Radio that way. Now, we've got a lot of different shows on Sorcerer Radio that go on every single morning, Monday through Friday. You can check out the broadcast schedule over on the website. We've also got shows that play during lunchtime. We've got shows on Saturdays. Lots of different things to listen to. So I encourage you to go and do that. Now, if you want to contact DW60, you want to contact myself, there's a couple of ways you can do that. You can do it via Twitter. Send it to me at DW_60. You can find me in the Sorcerer Radio Disney Fun Zone over on Facebook. You can comment on the DW60 Facebook page. Just search DW60 and you can find it. Like the page. You know, stuff posted all the time. Also, you can send me an email. Send it to DW60@srsounds.com. I love to read emails. I love to read comments. I love your opinion. Love to hear about your opinion and what you think about what Walt Disney World is doing right and what they are doing wrong. But we will return next week. Well, I will return next week for another edition of DW60's Press Row with the latest Walt Disney World news, rumors, and a whole lot more. So I hope you can join me for that. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for checking out the very first DW60 Press Row podcast, and I'll see you next week.
Forgive the interruption, but I believe this requires your attention.
If you ever believed Captain America was on the U.S. Olympic soccer team, if you ever thought that the Winter Soldier was that brace yourselves guy on the internet, and if you've ever wondered just what would a raccoon do with a machine gun, then don't let another week pass you by without tuning in to
Mighty Marvel Geeks.
Mighty Marvel Geeks is your show about all things Marvel, with news, rumors, commentary, and interviews, as well as our weekly recommendations on what to pick up on New Comic Book Day.
Yes!
We're just like Kevin Bacon.
That's Mighty Marvel Geeks, Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio, srsounds.com.
Transmission commencing.
This is Wookiee Radio.
Translated for the Wookiee apparent.
I like that Wookiee.
Your hosts, Ken, Derek, and Mike, bring you the latest news and commentary from the far reaches of the galaxy.
Hold it. I
I said hold it.
Subscribe today on iTunes and Stitcher.
I just assumed it's a Wookiee.
Start listening today, and remember,
the Force will be with you. Always.
Hi, this is Sorcerer, thanking you, the listeners, for your continued support of Sorcerer Radio, a station committed to bringing the best Disney programming in keeping with Walt Disney's vision, a station where children and parents can have fun listening together, and also transporting you back to that favorite place that you all love so much, Walt Disney World. Thanks again for listening. Have a magical day.
Sorcerer Radio.
I would really like to...
Wait a minute. Come in.
Hmm?
Is that how you're going to start?
Well, yeah. Is there a problem?
Is there a problem?
Hmm?
Yeah. Way too much talka, not enough waka.
All Disney music.
Waka.
All day long.
Da 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 da.
SRSounds.com.